Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
That's good. That's a good start. In the absence of Corps Sergeant Major John Ellison, you're landed with me for the announcements. So please don't heckle. But do correct me if I get it wrong, which is invariably going to happen. But please hold John in your prayers. He's not been very well this week. He's resting up at home. And as you know, there's very little that holds John back from being here. So that gives you an idea. He must be unwell. So please hold him in your prayers. Our worship today will be followed by tea and coffee and hopefully biscuits. So please stay and enjoy some cake. And enjoy some conversation. Enjoy some fellowship. Talk about the sermon. Talk about the Bible readings. Talk about what happened. We talk about the weather enough. We talk about football enough. Let's talk about some real stuff. There'll be no open air for an hour worship this morning because they're preparing the Christmas tree at the Triangle. The weekly programme this week runs as normal. And the only clarification I need to bring is that friends together are having their Christmas lunch this week. And lunch will be served at 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock, friends together, Christmas lunch. Next Sunday, the 3rd of December, will be the first Sunday in Advent. And like me, I expect you're wondering where's the year gone. But yes, Advent is upon us once more. I need you to be aware that next Sunday, though, straight after the meeting, we need all hands on deck to clear the hall in preparation for the tree festival the following week. The tree festival itself begins on Tuesday, the 5th of December, and I'm pleased to announce, and even the team don't know this, that the mayor will be in attendance to open the Christmas tree festival on Tuesday, the 5th of December. So please make sure that you invite friends and family and acquaintances and even strangers to come and join and enjoy the tree festival. With that in mind, I need to point out the fact that there's a board at the back with some schedules, a rota. We need people to be here to meet and greet visitors when they arrive for the Christmas tree festival. Jackie also has a large pile of posters for the tree festival, and I would like you to take them and post them in your windows and in your car windows and wherever you think people might see them. That's the Christmas tree festival, but I hate doing the announcements, can you tell? Another service that I need to point out to you is that on Friday the 15th of December at 6:30, Gordon Rodwells, the funeral director, are holding a Christmas memorial service in this hall, led by myself and supported by the band. And you're all welcome to attend. Sunday the 17th of December will be the Corps Carol concert. Saturday the 23rd of December will be the crib service at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, followed by a family film night at 4:30. And I'm just giving these advance warnings, I think, really. Christmas Eve will be worship as normal here at 10:30 because it's a Sunday. Christmas Day, worship as normal as every year here at 10:30. Christmas lunch will be offered on that day as well. So if you wish to attend, if you know someone who would like to attend, or if you would like to help and volunteer, please speak to Jackie Fincham. We are still on the lookout. I don't like to put too much pressure on this because we do ask a lot of you. But we do ask a lot of you. But if you would like to give some toys, presents for the Christmas appeal, that is a possibility. So please do, if you are able. They will be gratefully received. And I've ticked my list. So, in the absence of John, it's my privilege this morning to hand over to the captain.
Captain. yeah, it's lovely to be back. I don't think I'm officially back yet. So I'm just in absolute, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm sort of helping out this morning and sort of getting me back into coming back, I guess. So I'm doing half of the meeting for him and then he can do the rest. But hopefully, we'll have a good time this morning. And the band already introduced the song for us this morning, Crowning with Many Crowns, The Lamb Upon His Throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drones, or music by its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee and held him as a matchless king throughout all eternity. And that's what we're going to do exactly this morning. We're going to lift and praise and worship our God. Let us stand. Saved us. Isn't what we want to do. I understand what Paul means when he said, your faces sometimes, it's not convincing, is it? Come on, guys, we're singing these beautiful words and I'm saying, come on, it's beautiful words, and yes, indeed, it's done. We're going to sit down and we're going to go into a time of prayer now. And to help us with that, we're going to sing the song on the songbook 502. Jesus, tender love of my soul. Pardoner of my sins and a friend indeed. Keeper of the garden of my heart. Jesus, thou art everything to me. Let us sing and then we're going to pray.
Keep the Lord, the God of
Let us pray. Yes, Lord, indeed, you are everything to me, to us. Lord, this morning we come before you. And we want to say thank you. Thank you for the time that we have to come together in this place to worship you with each other. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you have done for us. We want to thank that we can come freely as who we are to you, knowing that you love us, knowing that you know each and every single one of us. You know what's going on. You know what kind of week we all had. You know what's bothering us. You know what's worrying us. You know what we rejoice in, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that you're always near us. We thank you for your presence, Lord Jesus. And this meeting this morning, Lord, we just ask that you might just be with us as we worship you. Everything that we do this morning, we wanted to give you glory and praise. We want your name to be glorified, Lord. We want you to be lifted up, Lord Jesus. And Lord, whatever is going on right now, Lord, we want to put it down and we just want to lay it down at your cross, Lord Jesus. And we come before you, we want to kneel down, Lord, just to worship you, to praise you for who you are, to praise you for your love, Father. We thank you that we can come and just do that this morning. And Lord, we also think of those of our family members who are not here, Lord. Lord, you know each and every single one of them. You know where they are. You know what's going on. Those on holidays, those who are not well, those who can't come for whatever reason it is, Lord, we bless them in your hands. And we ask that you might watch and you might protect them and you might guide them, Father. And Lord, for the rest of us, as we worship, help us to be united, to be one body, to be one in you, Lord. So, Lord, this morning, we come before you just to praise and worship you and to glorify you and to give you all the glory. We thank you, Father. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, the songsters are going to come and minister to us and they're going to sing, God is Able.
Thank you.
It's my privilege this morning to recognize Bob. Just kidding. I'm just going to go. We're going to recognize your ministry, because that's what it has been, hasn't it? A ministry. Bob has been a color surgeon for 64 years. You have done it faithfully. And your father before that has done it for a long time, and he's done it faithfully. And this morning, as part of the call and obviously DHQ, we want to recognize that. And we want to give thanks to God for you, for all that he has done, and for your ministry, for your faithful ministry, for doing such a wonderfully good job. And we praise God. We thank him for you, for your family, for your family allowing you to do that as well. And for journeying with so many people. Obviously, I've not been part of that, but I've heard stories, and it's been a joy that you have been part of our life. You were there for when we did Eva's dedication, and I welcome you were there, so we thank you for that. I've got a letter from our DC, Howard House Russell here, so I'm going to hand that to you. I've also got you a certificate. He just said he's got his first name on that one. Victor, yes. So there you go. That's yours. And Andy, somewhere, has done this for Bob. Aww. A little gift for Bob. And I'll show you.
I love it.
Yes. So you can take them home and you can throw them somewhere where you can see it. I'll give that to you. So on behalf of the Corps and Divisional, we want to thank you. So, congratulations, and thank you, Bob. I'll give Bob a bit of time to go back before the band plays, because the band is playing next, and they're going to bring their ministry to us. Thank you, band.
Thank you.
It's a good day today. And it's a good day for two reasons. One, we've recognized faithful service, ongoing faithful service, because we know, Bob, that your service hasn't ended, your ministry hasn't ended, and we thank you for your encouragement as well. But today we also mark new commitment. So with that in mind, I invite both Julia and Christine to come and join me on the platform. Andy, this is symbolic as well, I suppose, in some ways, is going to hold the flag this morning. And we bring the flag to the fore on these occasions, not because we are army barmy, not because we do the things that we have always done. We bring the flag to the fore this morning as a reminder of God's presence among us. And you will know, many of you, but some won't, the symbolism of this flag. And the blue reminds us of the purity of God. The red symbolizes the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. And the yellow, the bright yellow, reminds us of the fire of the Holy Spirit. I thought it would be good this morning for us all to be reminded of the doctrines of the Salvation Army. And those of us who are commissioned as officers have to recite them publicly. And we have to memorize them. I don't think soldiers have that same requirement. You'll be relieved to know. But I thought it would be good this morning for us to read them aloud and together, so that we could all be reminded of the theological framework, for the want of a better term, that we, as salvationists and as soldiers of the Salvation Army, operate within. So I invite you to join with me, but also with Julia and Christine, particularly this morning, in reading these articles of war, the doctrines of the Salvation Army. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments were given by inspiration of God, and that they only constitute the divine rule of Christian faith and practice. We believe that there is only one God who is infinitely perfect, the creator, the preserver, and governor of all things, and who is the only proper object of religious worship. We believe that there are three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, undivided in essence and co-equal in power and glory. We believe that in the person of Jesus Christ, the divine and human natures are united, so that he is truly and properly God and truly and properly man. We believe that our first parents were created in a state of innocency, but by their disobedience they lost their purity and happiness, and that in consequence of their fall, all men have become sinners and women, totally depraved, and as such are justly exposed to the wrath of God. We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ has, by his suffering in death, made an atonement for the whole world, so that whosoever will may be saved. We believe that repentance towards God, faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, and regeneration by the Holy Spirit are necessary to salvation. We believe that we are justified by grace through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And that he that believeth hath a witness in himself. We believe that continuance in a state of salvation depends upon continued obedient faith in Christ. We believe that it is the privilege of all believers to be wholly sanctified, and that their whole spirit and soul and body may be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in the immortality of the soul, in the resurrection of the body, in the general judgment at the end of the world, in the eternal happiness of the righteous, and in the endless punishment of the wicked. After all of those, I feel like shouting out a hallelujah. Because what a vision that they paint. I know it's hidden behind archaic language, behind old Victorian language. And I think one of them, actually, the language was wrong. So we've probably broken the law. And I expect to be arrested because this is enshrined by an act of parliament. But there we go. In a nutshell, the beliefs of the Salvation Army. You could come to me and we could talk about them. There's some things that are missing. I'm a little bit sad that there's no mention of Jesus Christ's resurrection in there. But we get it, because we can put that under Doctrine 1. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testament. But this is the framework, the field of play within which we operate. All who wish to become soldiers of the Salvation Army are required to sign the soldier's covenant. And in so doing, they testify that they worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And that they desire to fulfill their membership of His church on earth as a soldier of the Salvation Army. They affirm their belief in the Bible as the Word of God, and their acceptance of the Salvation Army's articles of faith. They declare that they will be responsive to the Holy Spirit and seek to grow in grace. What a vision for us all. They declare that they will make the values of the kingdom of God the standard of their lives, showing Christian integrity in their deeds, maintaining Christian ideals in their relationships, and upholding the sanctity of marriage and family life. They will be faithful stewards of all they have and are. They will abstain from the use of all enslaving substances and harmful activities. They will be active in God's work, both in sharing the gospel and in serving the needy, and will contribute financially to its support. They will be true to the principles of the Salvation Army. They witness that they freely enter into this covenant, convinced that the love of Christ requires the devotion of their lives to His service for the salvation of the whole world. And they declare their determination, by God's help, to be true soldiers of the Salvation Army. Do you each declare, in the presence of God and this congregation, that you undertake, by the help of the Holy Spirit, to live and work as true soldiers of Jesus Christ and of the Salvation Army, according to the witness and promises you make this day? If so, raise your right hand and say, I do.
I do.
Lovely. Well, thank you very much. I invite you. So this morning, I welcome you as soldiers of the Salvation Army, and I encourage you to keep the promises that you have made today and to lead lives worthy of Salvation Army soldiers, ready in all circumstance to witness to the faith and the hope that you have in Jesus Christ, and being prepared and ready, and I know that you do both of these things already, to serve others in his name. So let's welcome our friends this morning. In the name of the Lord we love and serve, I accept your declarations and receive you as soldiers of the Felixstowe Corps of the Salvation Army. Before we hear some brief words from both of you, Lisette is going to come back and pray over you and pray for you, and I'll receive Eva.
Last way. Father God, this morning I thank you for Christine and Julia. I thank you for who they are, and I thank you that you create them and you know both of them, Lord Jesus. And this morning, as they start a new journey with you, Father, I just ask that you might just be with them, watch over them, protect them, and just guide them, Lord Jesus, and keep speaking into them as you have been doing, Lord Jesus. It's been great to be able to share a little bit with them as they've been make a decision about all of this, and just to hear about their stories and how they just feel called by you in doing something, in doing what they're doing, Lord Jesus. And I just ask that you might just bless them and you just guide them and just keep speaking to them, keep using them at work, at home, and in a gym, wherever they might find themselves, Lord Jesus. And Lord, that they might just be able to shine your light, Lord Jesus. They might be an example of what it means to live out the calling of God in our lives, Lord Jesus. So just bless them. Bless the family, and bless us, because they are part of this family as well, and we're so thankful that they decided to be here with us and to join in with us and to serve you in this army here in the town of Felixstowe. So Lord, we give you all the glory and we praise you. In the name of Jesus Christ we prayed. Amen.
I forgot something important. As well. We look forward to hearing from you now.
Well, Paul has asked me to say a few words. And I just wanted to say how I've arrived here, really. In 2012, I started coming, or we started coming to visit our daughter, Caroline and James, and the grandchildren. So I came along to Christmas services or carol services, or if they were playing in the band, and was always made to feel very, very welcome. I have to say that. Whenever I came, I was always made very welcome. And in 2015, we moved to Felixstowe, and up until then, we've been attending church in Gransborough regularly, Church of England. I've always been Church of England, so it's been quite a major decision for me. And in 2016, we became adherents here. So from 2016 till now, I've really enjoyed being part of this family. I feel we're very blessed in Felixstowe to be able to come along here and pray, worship, and enjoy all the many talents us as disciples have within the family. And then about a year ago, some disciples threw sort of seeds at me, which got me thinking. So I've been on quite a long journey the last year, thinking about it all, and that's how I've arrived here, as to become a soldier today. And I'm looking forward to continuing to serve the Lord in many ways that I do and have done, and I'm sure there will be challenges for me to serve in the future. Thank you for listening.
I've been on a journey too, and I kind of had a hunch that Mum was on this journey for the last year, and it's prompted me to think about things. And I guess I want to say what this isn't. This isn't about making a statement of belonging, because I've always felt that I belong here. I feel very accepted here. I feel very much part of things here. And this isn't about wearing a uniform, because I still haven't decided whether that's something that I want to do. But for me, this is listening to God's calling. And I guess it goes hand in hand with the work I do. And it struck me that some of the people that I serve at work, I work for a charity that helps people who would otherwise be homeless. And some of them don't get to make those promises that I made today. Some of them are enslaved, and they don't have the choice that I have to give those enslaving substances up. And I guess in some ways I feel I'm doing it for them. They can't, and I can. So why wouldn't I? Is kind of where I landed. So it's a real privilege to be here and to be realising this part of my journey here at Felixstowe, but it's not the end, it's just the beginning, and I'm sure, like Mum said, there'll be lots and lots of other prompts and nudges from God in the years to come.
Thank you both for those words, and thank you, I think, particularly to Julia this morning. Soldiership is far more than mere membership of the Salvation Army. It's a covenant with God. It's a radical life of discipleship. And so we thank you for drawing that out this morning. So once again, if you want to speak about membership of the Salvation Army, if you feel God is calling you to be an adherent, come and speak to me. If you feel God is calling you to become a soldier, come and speak to me. And I will be delighted. That's the one topic I'll be delighted to speak about. The rest you can just keep them. joking. But I will happily talk about this with anyone. And I encourage you to consider these forms of membership and of service and of life very seriously. And we turn to the worship band now, who are going to lead us in this song, Cornerstone. And while they do so, we will be taking up the offering.
One again.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. When darkness seems to hide his face,
Comes from Genesis 17, verses 15 to 22. God also said to Abraham, "As for Sarah, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her." Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to him, "If only Ishmael might live under your blessing." Then God said, "Yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year." When he had finished speaking with Abraham, God went up from him.
So in today's passage that we've just heard, read by Claire, we see Abraham and Sarah being called by God to take the sort of leap of faith that is unimaginable to most of us. So I wonder, and I think it's right for us all to wonder, what was going through Sarah and Abraham's minds as they received the news that they were going to have a baby. And remember that Sarah and Abraham are unable to conceive. We learn this in Genesis chapter 11, and let's face it, they were getting on a bit. Of course, we know that God had made this covenant with Abraham and had promised to make him the father of many nations. But we are nonetheless left with a few questions. How will God make his covenant promises to actually come into being, to take effect? How will hope win when, to human eyes at least, the outcome seems compromised from the very beginning? It sounds almost reluctant to say this. No, not reluctant, redundant. It sounds redundant to say this. But in times of uncertainty, In times such as the times in which we are living, people begin to look at all sorts of places for signs of hope. And in fact, politicians live off of this theme of hope, proclaiming that they provide a break with the past. And even our present government that have been in place for 13 years are trying this on us. Interestingly also, some Christians, and I'm listening to a great podcast at the minute by Justin Brierley, which is called The Surprising Rebirth of Faith in God. Listen to it. Listen to this podcast. It's wonderful. It's brilliant. And Justin Brierley is seeing signs of hope that people are beginning again to show renewed interest in faith and in belief in God. It goes without saying, in difficult times, we need hope. And we wonder where we're going to find it. And it goes without saying that we live in challenging times. Never-ending war, it seems. A climate crisis. Economic uncertainty. And we wonder what the future will hold. Will we continue to resort to endless violence? Will our environment be able to continue sustaining us? What does the future hold for our children and grandchildren? Do you ask yourselves these questions? When the future does not seem to hold much promise, it's easy, it seems to me, to get lost in the here and now. And this attitude seems to pervade the world, the society in which we live. And we seek to reassure ourselves by living life in the now. Holidays, shopping, social media, none of these are bad things in and of themselves, but we can use them to numb ourselves and to distract us from the real hope our faith offers, from the reality, the difficult, the harsh reality that surrounds us. Without hope, we so easily fall into despondency and despair and lose touch with the promises for the future. So the story of Abraham and Sarah speaks to the power of hope. When we first meet the couple, God has chosen them to bring into existence a great nation with a future full of promise. And as we saw last week, the focus of the covenant is not so much the future of a people, but the story of a creator God who makes something out of nothing. Where there was nothing, there is now a people, God's people. So God blesses Israel to be a blessing as she lives among the nations. That's the promise. But it's also, as we continue to see, the challenge. I need you to listen to me very carefully. Because as you know, the subject matter of today's reading is sensitive. And for some, the topic might be particularly raw. So I don't want to be misunderstood. So ask for your attention. In our story, a serious obstacle stands in the way of the promise. We know that Sarai was childless because she was not able to conceive. We read this in Genesis chapter 11, verse 30. And other translations put it this way: Sarai was barren. Abraham and Sarai, however, share in their barrenness because it represents not simply the inability to conceive, but also the inability to hope. So we're not talking here about the absence of children, of a child, because of course we have to discount Ishmael at this stage of the story. But what we're talking about is the absence of hope. the absence of a future, the absence of the fulfillment of the promise made by God himself. Abraham and Sarah are hopeless because they cannot conceive how God is going to bring about his promises to and through them. God steps in earlier in chapter 17 to reiterate the promise that Abraham will become the father of many nations, that his descendants will be as numerous as the stars, and that the land he will inhabit will be an everlasting possession, the NIV puts it. And it's really interesting to note here how God is ramping up the promises he made in chapter 12. And this ramping up, I'm tempted to say at least, that God has not given up. God's promises still stand. And you could say that God's covenant promises are fertile with hope. But it cannot be accomplished until a child is conceived. God may well have named him, but the parents wait, incredulously, probably. This promised child, Isaac, he is named, who will carry the promise into the future, whose offspring will be a blessing unto the whole earth, is yet to materialize. So unsurprisingly, the realization of this vision sounds unthinkable to Abraham and Sarah. Sarah laughs so hard that she falls on the floor crying. How can God fulfill this kind of promise? Abraham has no reason to hope either. He looks at the land and sees nothing but unproductive land. He looks at Sarah, his wife, and is reminded of their infertility and their advancing years. He looks at his circumstances and thinks, nothing can come of this. But Abraham has every reason to hope. He has every reason to hope because God himself has made a promise to him, because the Creator God has bound himself to Abraham in covenant. God has called him and given him the hope of a new future, and God will fulfill that promise. So hope properly understood, hope from God is not fleeting. And this kind of hope, real hope, does not disappoint. And in fact, to live in hope means to live with the assurance of God's promise in our lives in the here and now, knowing that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us, to quote the Apostle Paul. So here is the most difficult aspect of the Christian life. We are not so much called to sacrifice and to self-denial as we are called to hope. To continue to hope through the trials of life. To hope against hope, as the Apostle Paul puts it in Romans chapter 4, verse 18. And it's by its very texture that we know that hope is a gift from God. It's the gift of God's covenant love with Israel and with the church. It's the gift of God's grace when the Son dies on the cross and when despair seems to have the upper hand. And here's the paradox of our faith. The reason it is foolishness to the Greek and to those who think they know better. Hope is the power God gives in the face of sin and death. Sounds unthinkable? Confronted with the current evidence, it does indeed seem unthinkable. Perhaps even laughable. But given the one who makes the promise, it is not unimaginable. It's the power of the God who saves. The gift that doesn't disappoint and never will. We're going to turn to a song now. It's number 63 in the Salvation Army songbook. And it's the adaptation of a well-known hymn. The Lord is my shepherd, I will not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul. You'll recognize Psalm 23 as well. He guides my way in righteousness, and he anoints my head with oil, and my cup, it overflows with joy. I feast on his pure delights. And though I walk through the darkest path, I will not fear the evil one. For you are with me, and your rod and staff are the comfort I need to know. And I will trust in you alone. I will trust in you alone. For your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me home. There's an image of hope there, isn't there? Of course. Times might be tough. Things might be going horribly wrong. You might be completely and utterly hopeless. Stand up and say, I will trust in you alone. And this gift of hope will be given to you. The hope that you have a glorious future because God has planned for one. That he can lift you out of your current situation. I will trust in you alone. Let's sing these words together. Lord, my shepherd. Thank you. So I invite you to respond in these moments and to declare your trust in Jesus Christ and allow Him to give you the hope that you need. And I see that we're being led unplanned by the Spirit. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what He wants me to be. What is He calling you today? To renewed hope, to renewed faith, to renewed purpose, I don't know. To a renewed spirit of joy, perhaps. He is able to give you all of these things. Shall we sing this chorus together? We've been led there. Let's go there. Able. Dream. What's the wild dream that you're holding on to? Maybe for yourself and for the world. He is able. He is able to make it happen by His grace and through His Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for Your faithfulness, for the fact that what You have said You will do. We know that that is true for us, that You wish for us to lead and live and experience a new life. Life in all its fullness, Lord, unrestricted, as You wanted us to be. And we also thank You, Lord, that You have a plan for the entirety of creation, that You, the Bible tells us, that You are making all things new. And though at times it can be difficult to see that process happening, we hold on to our faith and we trust in You, and we hold on to the hope that we have for that time when heaven and earth will come together and it will be fully joined together with You, and that all will be lost in wonder and praise because of Your goodness. We thank You for Your presence through the Holy Spirit this morning, Lord. And Lord, we pray that we wouldn't take it for granted. Lord, we pray that we would leave this place knowing that Your Spirit goes before us. We pray, Lord, that we would be available to the Spirit's moving in and through us, that this wouldn't just be a Sunday morning experience, but would be a daily experience. I pray this prayer in and through the glorious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All the promises of God and all our hopes and expectations for ourselves are only possible through Christ's gift on the cross and his and the faith that we place in him. So it's in that spirit that we join together in singing our final song this morning, In Christ Alone. And I invite you to stand if you are able as we join together. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, your whole life may overflow with hope and confidence. Amen.